All right, friends, I've got some good news for you today. And it's called that God has got a miracle in his hand for your taking this year. We've been on a series lately called Going to the Top. Going to the Top. God is wanting you to go to the top in your life. We've been using this picture of an imaginary ladder in your life. You might be at the bottom. God is wanting you to go higher and higher. But today, I want to switch the image to a mountain. I want to use the image of a mountain. Friend, I want to ask you today, what mountain is facing your life right now? Is it a mountain of financial challenge? Do you have a mountain of health issues facing you? Do you have a mountain of emotional problems in your life? A mountain of relationships that need to be worked on? You know, you don't need to allow that mountain to stand over you and intimidate you. Guess what? You can climb that mountain higher and higher until you stand on top of it with God's help and God's grace. You might be thinking today, it's so hard for me to climb this mountain. My past, the things people have said or done to me seem to hold me back, seem to hold me from going up the mountain in my life. Jonathan, I've suffered great loss in my life. I'm in grief. I'm in sorrow. You don't know what I've gone through. How can I go any higher with this mountain facing my life? You know, last week we talked about the first blind man to climb the tallest mountain in the world, Eric Weihenmayer. He had a physical handicap, blindness. But he chose to look past his blindness, if you would, and courageously took action to summit Mount Everest. And your handicap may be other than physical, friend. It may have been emotional abuse, verbal abuse, something that negative that happened to you in your past. My encouragement to you today is this. Turn away from looking backwards and look forward. Take courageous action to conquer the mountain in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Last week we talked about a key spiritual principle in climbing the mountain facing you today. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. The key principle was called godly relationships. You know, the people that you closely join your life to will either take you lower or higher in life. You've got to be very careful who you join your life closely to. Paul the Apostle writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be misled. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad characters, bad company can take you down spiritually. But the good news is this. The opposite is also true. That good company can enhance, it can improve your character. It can strengthen your walk with God. You know, I meant to make a major note last week, and I'm going to do it this week. You know, let's say you have 10 hours every week to build relationships with people. If I were you, I would take a tithe of that time, an hour or 2 hours a week, and pour it into the lives of somebody, a life of somebody who is weaker than you. Help that person climb his mountain, because we're supposed to reach out beyond ourselves. We're to minister beyond ourselves. So I'm not saying separate yourself from everybody. Take a certain part of your time every week and just minister to people weaker than you. Help them go up their mountain. But with the majority of time that you have every week to build relationships, the 7 or 8 hours, you need to closely join yourself during that time to people who can help you climb the mountain in your life. Friends, it's a very serious issue. In the days and the weeks and in the months to come, let's be very careful, cautious, as to who we closely join our lives to. Amen? Because people will take you either up or down. All right. Today, I want to talk to you about another spiritual key in reaching the top of your mountain. How many here want to reach the top of their mountain? You want to go a little higher. You want to conquer the mountain of financial challenge maybe in your life. Maybe conquer the mountain of broken relationships. How many want to know how to go a little higher today? I want to talk to you about a principle called focus. Focus. You know, I was studying the word focus yesterday. and today. And after studying it, I came up with this definition. This is what focus is. It's taking your time. How many can see that? Taking three categories. It's taking your time, your energies, and your thoughts, and bringing them into alignment, into agreement, to a point, in order to reach an end, a goal, in order to reach the top of the mountain that God is wanting you to reach in your life. Should I say that again?
Yeah.
This is what focus is. It's taking your time, your energies, and your thoughts, bringing them into agreement, into alignment, to a point, in order to reach a goal, an end, in order to reach the summit of the mountain you're facing in your life. It's a concentration of your time, energies, and thoughts on a specific goal. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about the power of focus. The power of focus. But for the next few moments, let's talk about what the lack of focus can do in our lives. All right? John Maxwell wrote an excellent book called The 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader. He has a saying at the beginning of chapter 8. It's an unknown author, and it says this. If you chase two rabbits, both will escape. Makes sense, right? If you chase two rabbits, both will escape. How many have ever heard this? If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If the location to where you are going is called I don't know, guess what? Any road will take you to the location called I don't know where I'm going, right? But if you know the address of the house you're looking for, one road will get you there. One specific and focused road will take you to that address, to that house. Is that making sense?
Yes.
You know, when I was growing up, I grew up from age 12 to 18 in Union Township, New Jersey. The address of my house was 971 Floyd Terrace. So which road took me to 971? The road called Floyd Terrace. You veered off of Morris Avenue down Floyd Terrace. You went a few hundred feet, and there was 971 Floyd Terrace. You've got to be focused. That making sense? You know, the Bible has something to say about focus. It's quite a bit to say about focus. Let's turn to Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. That's the NIV. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Another version says this, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. What is he trying to say here? What is he trying to say? Where you have no vision, the people are unrestrained. He's saying this, if you don't have a revelation, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a goal, you've got nothing to focus on. You've got no restraints to keep you looking forward. And if you've got no restraints to keep you looking forward, you'll be distracted to the right, to the left. You'll be chasing rabbits all over the place and accomplishing nothing with your life. So restraints, in a sense, are good. It's a control that keeps you looking forward. Does that make sense? On the other hand, if you have a vision, a revelation, a goal, then it's easier to have what? If you have a goal for your life, a mountain that you're needing to climb, it's easier to have focus. It's easier to be restrained to looking forward, to climb the mountain that God is wanting you to climb in your life. And here's the picture that comes to mind when I think about focus. A racehorse. How many here know a little bit about racehorses with their blinders? Okay. I don't know if you can see those pictures, but here are some racehorses with leather blinders on their eyes. Anybody here know why a racehorse has blinders on its eyes? Okay, that's good. Keep the sun out. Somebody else? Keep the focus. Good. Anybody else? What's that? Okay. All right, good. Let me read this. Blinders, also known as blinkers or winkers, are a piece of horse tack that restrict the horse's vision to the rear and, in some cases, to the side. They usually are made of leather or plastic cups that are placed on either side of the eyes, either attached to a bridle or to an independent hood. Many racehorse trainers believe this keeps the horse focused on what is in front of him, encouraging him to pay attention to the race rather than to other distractions such as crowds. You know, if that racehorse did not have blinders, he wouldn't be focused. He'd be distracted by the crowds, and God forbid, he might break a leg, break a bone, and possibly even kill himself. Right? So those blinders keep the racehorse focused. It keeps him restrained to looking straight ahead toward the goal. So taking the racehorse and taking Proverbs 29:18, maybe in modern English we can read it this way. Where there is no revelation in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, no vision, where there are no blinders and no focus, the people are distracted. Should I say that again? Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, where there are no blinders, no focus, the people get distracted. But the good news is found in the second half of Proverbs 29:18. But blessed is he who keeps the law. What is he trying to say here in Proverbs 29:18, the second part of the verse? Blessed is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who keeps the law. What is he trying to say? He's saying, blessed is the one who is focused on the goal of storing up God's law, his word, in his heart. Blessed is the one who is focused on applying God's word to every part of his life. Are we seeing this? Are you seeing that? Is it possible then to expand this blessing to include reaching the goal, the summit of one's mountain, as a result of his or her focus? Is it possible to expand this blessing to include reaching the goal, the summit of one's mountain, as a result of his or her focus? Friends, there are blessings in being focused. There are blessings in focusing in different parts of your life. Blessed is he who is focused financially. He will reach the top in the financial area of his life. Blessed is he who is focused on his relationships, on reconciling them, for he will be blessed with friends in his life. Blessed is he who is focused on caring for this body, God's temple, for he will have health all of his days. Amen? Let me read you a story about a man who was highly blessed because he was focused. How many have heard of Tony Gwynn? How many here have played baseball in the past? Maybe like baseball. Well, let me read you this story. It comes from John Maxwell's book again, The 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader, Chapter 8. 1998, the Atlanta Braves and the San Diego Padres played for Major League Baseball's National League's pennant. And I had the privilege of attending several of the games. Back when I lived in San Diego, I was a die-hard Padres fan. But when I moved to Atlanta in 97, I changed my allegiance to the Braves. I rooted for them all season long until they faced San Diego in the playoffs. Why did I change? I could not bring myself to root against Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn is the greatest hitter in the last 50 years. The best since Ted Williams. He has won an incredible 8 batting titles. Only Ty Cobb has won more. In his career, he has batted a tremendous .339. It's always a joy to watch Gwynn play. He is surely destined for the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. If you saw Tony Gwynn on the street and didn't know who he was, you might not guess he was a professional ball player. At 5 feet 11 inches and 220 pounds, he doesn't look the part of the star athlete the way someone like Mark McGwire does. But make no mistake, Gwynn is a talented athlete, having been drafted out of college for baseball and basketball. And though he has a tremendous heart, the real key to his success is focus. Tony Gwynn loves hitting a baseball, and he devotes himself to it. Several times each season, he reads Ted Williams' The Science of Hitting. a book he first discovered and read while in college. He watches countless hours of videotape. At home, he has a library of hitting tapes continually fed by his five VCRs that record games via satellite dish. He even reviews tape on the road. When he travels for games, he takes two VCRs so that he can tape and edit every one of his at-bats. When he is not swinging the bat or watching the tape, he is talking about hitting constantly with his teammates. At the All-Star Game with great players such as Ted Williams, Gwynn just can't get enough. Hitting is his joy. He has been known to arrive at social events with a batting glove sticking out of his pocket, having stopped to hit a few. And even when not practicing, watching tape, or talking to other hitters, he can be found playing ping pong or doing activities to improve his eye-to-hand coordination. Amazing, right? Even his decision to remain in San Diego his whole career has improved his game. One of my strengths is knowing how much I can handle, Gwynn says. There are few distractions in San Diego. There isn't a lot of media hoopla. That helps me be consistent. Consistent is right. Gwynn has batted over .300 in every season as a professional except one, his first. Columnist George Will maintains that people who are great at what they do, such as Gwynn, have cultivated a kind of concentration unknown to most people. Focus is very important. Do you agree? Yeah. Remember, we talked about Eric Weinmeier, the first blind man to summit Mount Everest. He was blind. He had a physical handicap. But what caused him, what motivated him to climb this mountain to the top? Yes, it was the people he was closely joined to, but it was his focus, his time, his energies, his efforts, right? Everything was focused for 3 months on climbing this mountain, and eventually he made it, and he was so excited when he did. The power was in his focus. James has something to say about focus. How many here know a little about James in the New Testament? You got a Bible, you might want to turn over there. Hebrews, then James. This is what he says. James 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. What is he talking about here in context? He's talking about a man who's asking God for wisdom. And he's saying that if you ask God for wisdom, you've got to believe with all your heart that God will give you the wisdom you're asking for. You've got to be focused on that. But then if you start doubting, well, I wonder if God can really give me the wisdom I'm asking him for, then that person is double-minded. He's believing God a little bit, and then he's doubting God a little bit, then he's believing God a little bit, and then doubting God a little bit. He's a double-minded man. And James is saying that this type of person is unstable in all that he does. So what is he saying? He's saying, focus on believing that God can give you the wisdom that you ask him for. And if you focus on that, you will be blessed. God will give you that wisdom. In other words, a single-minded man is stable in all of his ways. A single-minded, a focused man is blessed in everything he does. So instead of believing God a little bit and doubting God a little bit with your life and climbing the mountain you need to climb, let's focus instead on trusting God, believing God, having faith that God can take you, that God can take us to the top of the mountain we're facing in our life. That kind of single-mindedness of faith in God will get you to the top. It's focus, focused faith in God. Does that make sense? Single-minded man is stable in all that he does. Finally, for the next few minutes, our perfect model for focus is whom? Go back one book to Hebrews chapter 12. Our perfect model for focus is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, the key. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus lived on this earth for 33 years. He began his ministry at about the age of 30. During the last 3 years of his life, he ministered. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Jesus had a mountain to face in his life. What mountain was that?
The cross.
The cross. The cross. See, Jesus knew that he was born to die so that we could live forever in heaven with him. His mountain was the cross. He got to the top of his mountain. He accomplished the work at the cross, right? For what? For the joy set before him, because he had his eye on the goal. The goal was the joy, the reward that many sons and daughters around the world, including right here in this room today, would be added to the kingdom of God. Jesus was able to climb that mountain called the cross because he was focused on the goal, which was the joy set before him. You and me, sons and daughters, now as a part of the kingdom of God. And he says it plainly in verse 2. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What does that mean? Let Jesus be our model for being focused in life. Friend, I'm just here to encourage you today that if you're chasing so many rabbits, you'll never catch one. You'll never go anywhere with your life. You need to sit down before God and say, God, what is it that you are wanting me to do with my life? God, which mountain am I to climb in my life? God, how can I go higher financially? God, how can I go higher in my emotions? God, how can I go higher with my health? God, how can I go higher in my relationships? God, how can I go higher in every part of my life? And he will speak to you. He will say, I want you to set this goal and keep focused on it. And if you're focused, you will go through the thick and the thin, you will climb the mountain and you will go to the top and be successful in every part of your life, friend. If Jesus did it, he's our example. That means we can do it as well because we are his followers. John writes in 1 John 2, if we claim to live in Christ, we must walk as Christ walked. 1 John 2, 6. What is the mountain facing your life today? And there's a real practical way to focus on the goal so that you can get to the top of your mountain. You know what that is? Real practical how-to. Okay, that's good. Real practical way on how to keep your eyes on the goal so that you can climb the mountain through the thick and the thin. Pray, okay? Anybody else? Write it down. Write it down. Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation, the vision, and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. In other words, it will come to pass. So if you've got a goal in your life to climb this certain mountain in your life, mountain of finances, mountain of emotions, a mountain of relationships, write the goal down on paper and place it where you can see it going in and out of your room. Maybe you got a Bible. Take the goal, write it down, and place it at the very front of your Bible. So that every time you open up your Bible, you see this goal. I am going to go higher and higher financially until I get to the top. I am going higher and higher in my relationships until I get to the top. And I'm going to go higher in my relationships by practicing forgiveness with others, by not holding a grudge against them. And friend, if you look at that, if you look at that goal and you're focused on it day after day, week after week, guess what? You will get to the top of that mountain. God is with you. God's strength is there. His grace is there to lead you along. But you've got to be focused on the goal. Your energies, your time, your efforts, everything, your thoughts have to be concentrated on the goal. That's what focus is. Amen? How many here feel that they can strengthen this area of their life called focus? All of us, right? Having those blinders on like the racehorse, looking straight ahead, being restrained to look ahead only. All of us, right? So, Father, I want to pray to you, for you guys today. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus today for my brothers sitting here who are needing to strengthen and focus, including myself. God, and I just pray that you speak to us in the coming days and weeks on how we can focus on climbing the mountain you are wanting us to climb in our lives, God. That we would take it, take what you speak to us, and that we would write it down, Father God. And as we focus on that goal, Father God, we'll go a little higher every day until we start reaching the top. God, we give you the praise and the honor today. God, I thank you that you've got a wonderful plan, a purpose for every single person sitting in this room today. God, everybody is on this earth on purpose and not by accident. God, I thank you that you've got wonderful things in store for them financially, in their job, in their relationships, in their emotions, in every part of their existence that affects them. We give you the praise and the honor. You are such a good God. And God, I just pray that you just drive this principle of focus into us this week, that we may be as focused as you were, Jesus, as you approached the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.